Nobody knows but you what you've been forgiven of. And places to be enjoyed. He's worthy this morning. He's worthy. All right. Help yourself. Go ahead, Diane. Turn the scripture, Trista read. Which one loves him more, the one who's forgiven much or little? Well, can I tell you, there's a lot of things I didn't do. There's a lot of things I did do. But the Bible says if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. So I'm guilty of everything everybody else done, and I'm guilty of everything everybody else thought. I was guilty of that, and he forgave me of it all. Of it all. I like that. He forgave me of it all. Ain't that good? All of it. All right? All right. Well, let's pray together, and we'll give you some thoughts this morning. I want you to think about your heart. I want you to think about being saved this morning. If you're not saved, I want you to think about it. I want you to think about your condition, of where you would go if you would die today. Last week, a good Christian man walked out of revival at Enon Baptist Church right down the road. And after he walked out of revival, had a massive heart attack. In just a few hours, he's in eternity with the Lord. This may be your last service. Maybe your last one. Yes. Come in church and sit and listen, sing, enjoy, shout. I don't know what all you'll end up doing, but it might be the last one you're in. We don't know. We don't know that. But I'm sure that Johnny Evans enjoyed the Lord when he seen him face to face. He'd been testifying and teaching about him for many years. But I want you to know this. What is your testimony? Are you saved today? I mean, really, look at me, just flat out, are you truly saved? I mean, Bible saved, without a doubt in your mind. Now, if there's a doubt, you better get that cleared up. Because I wouldn't want to go through life questioning things. Because this thing is for sure, are you saved? Are you truly saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you've passed from death into life? Have you repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Not if you prayed a prayer, not if you've been baptized, not if you joined the church, not if you got come from a good family, not if you've quit stuff, not if you've tried to reform, but have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you repented and trusted Christ? Are you saved this morning?
Yes.
Huh?
Amen.
Maybe if I keep repeating it, you'll get it in a minute. That is a question that I'm asking. Now, let me go another step. If you're ashamed to answer that out loud, then you got other problems. Now, you don't have to be loud and boisterous. I'm loud. I know that. I'm an introvert by nature, but there's been a difference in me. But I'm saved. I'm glad. I bet you money if I won the lottery, I'd want to tell it because I'll never win it because you got to play to win it. But nevertheless, I wouldn't be ashamed of that. Well, I might be ashamed of it because I'm afraid somebody might want it. Maybe that's the problem. We're afraid we'll have to share what we have. Well, that's a whole different message. Come back tonight. That might be the message tonight. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, I need you. I need your help. Lord, I can't preach without you. And Lord, but it is an honor to stand here and try. It's an honor to tell people about you and your greatness, your goodness, your love and mercy. Lord, help me just to tell them about you. Lord, we already know about us. Lord, we know we're no count. Lord, if there's anybody honest here this morning, then they know that they've missed the mark. And Lord, I pray that you might speak to every heart, deal with them as you see fit, draw us to a place of repentance that we're living for you, regardless of the circumstance or what the world says or anybody else. Lord, you're the most important person there is. Help me to live for you, I pray. Cleanse me, please. I know I'm filthy. Cleanse me. Use me as you see fit, and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, next week is Easter. Next week is Easter. Y'all believe that already? We're here Easter. Hallelujah, Christ arose. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that Christ arose. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, starting there, says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins." I'm glad he arose. My faith ain't in vain, and I'm not in my sins anymore. All right. Verse 18 says, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." I'm glad that there are some that went on that I'm looking forward to seeing, because they've been forgiven too. And there's going to be a good reunion day. Now think about that. But verse 19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Now, if the only thing you got is in this world, a little bit of religion, a little bit of church, if you're a little churchy, can I tell you, a little churchy will send you to hell. All right? You need Christ. You need Christ in your life. You need to be saved this morning. And that's just what you need. The only hope you have is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. If you don't have no hope, nowhere else. Now, I understand that. You say, "Well, I'm not bad." No, you're wicked. You're not bad. I agree with you. There's not a bad person in here. You're all wicked. I'm wicked and you're wicked. That's on our best day. On our best day. And you say, "Well, I don't agree with that." Well, then you're just wrong. Because you're wicked. I mean, it's just that plain and simple. And you need Christ. Christ is your only hope. Now, the church is a good place to come, but it's not your hope. All right? I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad guy to get to know, but I'm not your hope. All right? I'll help you any way I can, but I can only go so far. Can't give you so much money. Can't give you so much time. I can't save you. Can't heal you. All right? So I'm limited, but I'm a good friend. All right? But can I tell you what? I ain't gonna help you when it comes time for eternity. You need Christ. Christ is all that you need this morning, and it's your only hope. The cross of Jesus Christ is the only hope we have that we can be reconciled to God and be forgiven of our sin. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you understand it? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is where we'll take a text this morning. It says, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." For the preaching of the cross, for the preaching of the cross, I want to preach to you this morning about the only hope that you have is in the cross this morning. That's all that you have is in the cross. Now, we're not trying to be belligerent or smart aleck or anything, but we are going to be very dogmatic. All right? We are very adamant. There is no other way than the cross of Jesus Christ. There's no payment for sin other than the cross of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You must come by the cross to be saved. Now, he arose the third day to prove that he was God. He arose the third day to show us that he wasn't just a normal man. He said, "I'm going to lay down my life, and if I lay it down, I'm going to pick it up again," showing us that he was God. But he went to the cross to die and make a payment, a full payment for your sin. He didn't make an installment. He made a full payment for your sin this morning. And without the cross, you have no hope. You have absolutely no hope. You think about that. Now, if I was to ask you this morning, and I've heard this said by other preachers, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. If I was to ask you this morning, why would you go to heaven? Why would you go to heaven? Why should you go? What makes you think that you're going to heaven? What would you say? Would you start out the answer with, "I believed"? Would you say, "Well, I got saved"? All right. I believe. Would you start out? Well, if you start out the answer with I, then you're speaking in the wrong person. You're speaking in first person because it's you. Well, can I tell you, that ain't the right answer. What you need to do, why would I go to heaven? Why would I be saved? Then your answer should be in the third person, because of He. Because of He. Because He died for me. Because He paid my sin debt. Because He saved me. Because He, not because I. Can I tell you what I done? I sinned, and I made a good job of it. I was a sinner. Though I was a little boy, I was still a sinner, just as bad as the worst in the world. I was still a sinner. I rebelled against God. I verbally rebelled against God. I spiritually rebelled against God. I blatantly rebelled against God, telling God no. Can I tell you, it don't matter whether you're a child or an old man, if you tell God no, that's not good.
That's right. Amen.
And I told Him no, not just one time, but I told Him no over and over until the conviction of my sin and the guilt of my sin was so heavy that I had to have relief. And the only place I could come was what to Christ and what He done on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And without the cross, there is no hope. There's no hope. There is no hope. Now, it's not the wood. No. It's the action of the cross. It's what Christ done on the cross. When it talks about the preaching of the cross, when Paul wrote here to the church of Corinth and said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that believe foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. There's something in the preaching of the cross that God would die for man is beyond my understanding, but yet I believe it this morning. And it's the only hope that we have. All through the Bible, we have from Genesis to Revelation, we have the preaching of the cross. Now, I understand the cross did not take place until the New Testament. At the end of the Gospels, we have the record account of the cross of Christ. But can I tell you, that's not when the cross began. The cross began in God's mind before there was an earth, before there was a creation, before anything was made, the Lamb was slain, before the foundations of the earth was ever laid.
Yes.
The Lamb was slain.
Yes.
The cross was in God's mind. Can I tell you? You think about that. When I read about Adam and Eve, Brother Rick's been teaching in Genesis, and when I read about the animals that was slain for Adam and Eve, that shows me the cross. It shows me the cross. You know what it shows me? What part does that show me about the cross? Well, it shows me my guilt. It shows me how I want to hide. It shows me how I want to cover. That's what Adam and Eve showed me. When God killed the animal for the coats of skin to cover Adam and Eve, what it done to me was show me my guilt. Because I'm like Adam and Eve and like you, the first time we sin, we usually do it hiding. The big sins, we hide or we try to cover. And that's what mankind does. Still, we want to cover our sin. We're so bad that we'll do something wrong and we'll look to see if there's anybody around. Look and see if anybody's around watching or see if anybody hears us when we say something or do something. Can I tell you that the animal that was slain for Adam and Eve showed me the cross. It showed me the guilt that was taken there to the cross. Well, I read on through the Bible and I read about Noah. And when I read about Noah and the ark, it shows me the cross again. It's a picture of the cross, pitched in within and without, one door, and everyone was safe there in the ark. It shows me the cross again, but can I tell you, it shows me the judgment. Because of the ark, there was judgment upon the earth, and the ark was the only escape. Can I tell you that judgment will come to me and you, every man, boy, and girl, and the cross is our only escape. It's the only hope we have is the cross of Christ.
Amen.
You've got to come by the way of the cross. Are you understanding me?
Amen.
I go on through the Bible and I read about Abraham. I read about Abraham there. He sacrificed his son. He took Isaac up on the mountain, and in Abraham's mind and even in his deed, he sacrificed his son. He drawed the knife back, but because of the cross, what it shows me there with Abraham and Abraham's Calvary was the substitute that God has made for me and you. Listen, the cross shows me my guilt. The cross shows me my judgment to come, but the cross shows me my substitute, that somebody named Jesus, God in the flesh, died in my place this morning. Man, that's wonderful. That's why it's the power of God. That's why it's the power for us this morning. And the way of the cross is the only hope you have. If you've never come to the cross in faith, believing that Christ died for you and He is your only way of salvation, then to hell you'll go. It won't be no other way. It won't be no other way. You think about it. I read about temple being made and Moses directing the temple to be made and all the animals that was sacrificed there. All the animals, the lambs and the goats and the turtle doves and everything that was sacrificed for man's sin. Shows me the cross. Every time I read it, it shows me the cross. What does it show me? It shows me that God will pardon. He'll let it go. And the cross is my only hope. And when I come to the cross, He lets me go. Jesus speaks about it in John chapter 3, when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. The plague had come and people were dying and Moses went to God and said, we need a remedy. Man, I'm glad there's a remedy this morning. And He said, you make you a brazen serpent and you hang it up for, and everybody that looks, exercise a little faith and looks will be healed. Can I tell you, that shows me the cross and it shows me there's a remedy. I love it when the young people sing, there is a remedy. There's a remedy this morning. There's a remedy for the sin that's in your life. There's a remedy this morning for the separation that's in your life. There's a remedy this morning for the sentence that is against you for all eternity. And that remedy is Jesus Christ and the cross. The cross. Man, I'm glad for the cross this morning. Now, I don't have to have St. Luke walk through Chicago. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what Christ done on the cross. Think about it. He died for me this morning. The cross. The cross. The only hope that we have is the cross this morning. The cross shows me the full payment for sin. Christ died. You think about that. When Christ died, it was a full payment for sin. But the cross don't just show me that, but the cross shows me the full mercy of God. Yeah. But Brother Rick talked about the mercy of God this morning for Lot. You know, Lot, go back and rehearse just a little bit of his Sunday school. Lot was supposed to have been the Bible says he was a just man. He was a saved man. But boy, he was in a bad way. He got in the world. The world got back in him. Yes. Next thing you know, he calls the wickedness of Sodom brethren. Yeah. The next thing you know, he's done lost his family, done lost his son-in-laws, done lost his wife, and he's done what is not even thinkable with his own girls. Right. Huh? Shows me the sin of man. Huh? Showed me all that filthiness, the payment for sin. Huh? That's what we are. We're nothing but sinners. But the cross pays for that. Somewhere it has to be paid for. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Huh? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I tell you, the only hope you have is the cross. The only hope you have. Do you understand that this morning? That's why I asked Clark to sing this morning at the cross, where I first saw the light. The burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the way. But there's no joy. There's nothing until you come to the cross this morning. It should never be old. It should never get old to us. Huh? The cross should never get old. The message of the cross shouldn't get old. The songs on the cross should never get old. Nothing about the cross should be old or just the same old thing. It ought to stir us. Huh? It ought to stir us. The song that Trista sung about being forgiven. I am forgiven. But not only because of the cross. The only hope I have is the cross. We're so self-centered on our own self, thinking ourselves so much that we've forgotten the importance of the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's foolishness. People say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It's foolishness to people. But it's people that perish. For people that perish, it's foolishness. What the Bible just said. Think about that this morning. But the cross showed me my full payment for sin. The cross don't just do that, but it shows me, if you would, that the full satisfaction of God. Huh? See, throughout the Old Testament, all the blood that was shed, God accepted us. He accepted us, but He wasn't satisfied. He accepted us, but He only accepted us for a time. Because mankind had to continually make sacrifices. They had to continually bring the blood, continually bring the blood, continually to wear that mercy seat that was made of gopher wood and then overlaid in gold. So there was so much blood put on that mercy seat that for us to see that Ark of the Covenant where the blood was put on the mercy seat, it would not be gold and shiny, but it would look black. It would be so black and dirty looking where the blood had dried and turned black. You look at blood when it first lays out on the ground, it's red and bright, but after a little bit it turns black. And the older it gets, the blacker it gets. Huh? That's what it looks like. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be made like, well, can I tell you, after a while, they turn dark and dreary looking. Huh? And God accepted it. But not when the cross happened. When the cross, then God said, yeah, it satisfies me. See, that's what satisfies Him for me and you. For God forgives us for Christ's sake and what was done on the cross. You say, well, you preach it all the time, and I'll always preach it. I'll never quit preaching it until everybody's saved. Huh? Because I don't believe everybody's saved here this morning. And surely you're not so naive to believe it. Huh? Hear me this morning. The only hope you have is in the cross. The cross changes things, huh? But the cross, it shows full payment. But the cross shows full satisfaction. But the cross shows the only hope. Think about it. Now, it's one thing to have hope, but when he ain't got but one hope, the only hope, huh? Think about that. That's getting right down where it's serious. The only hope. Have you come to the cross? Are you saved this morning? Are you truly saved this morning? What was the change He made in your life? What did He change? What did He? We said we didn't change nothing. Well, then you didn't come to the cross of Christ. You may come to a crossroads in your life, but you never come to the cross. Because when you come to the cross of Christ, He'll change you. He'll change you. Think about it. See, without the cross this morning, we wouldn't know God's love. Do you know that? You wouldn't know how much God loved you if it wasn't for the cross. It would be void. The word love wouldn't mean nothing without the cross. To hear, to read on every page of my Bible, That God loves you. God loves you. That's all wonderful. But it would be void until I got to the cross. When I got to the cross, then it was proof that God loved me. Are you hearing me? Think about that. Without the cross, I wouldn't know God's grace. I wouldn't know God's grace. All they would just be good things given me. But grace is so much undeserved. Huh? Grace is what's given at God's expense. It's the righteousness of God. God would not, could not give His righteousness without His blood. Think about that. For we are justified by His blood. We're justified by faith. We're justified by grace. But we're justified by His blood, the Bible said. Huh? Without the cross this morning, we wouldn't know God's mercy. We don't know. We don't even comprehend God's mercy. Look at me this morning. You have no comprehension of what God's kept you from. There's no way. There's no way you can even fathom what God has kept you from. And you wouldn't have known. You wouldn't even know there was such a thing as mercy as He not went and died in your place. Oh, thing, He went and died in your place that you wouldn't have to. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Huh? Think about that. Without the cross, I wouldn't know redemption. I wouldn't know what redemption was. I wouldn't know that I was bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. Amen. That I am now an heir. Yes. Because of the cross. Amen. I'm an heir. Yes. H-E-I-R, heir. And I'm a joint heir. Yes. I got my part and His part and I got it all.
Amen.
Huh? Because of the cross. See, the cross is the only hope you have. Now, let me give you a couple of things real quick this morning and let you understand that without the cross, there would be no hope. There would be no hope. Turn over to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Is everybody with me this morning? Mark chapter 15. Paul said, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross. And that's all I can do this morning, this glory in the cross. Mark chapter 15. Without the cross this morning, nobody would know, have no clue what freedom was. Wouldn't have a clue. But I read here in Mark chapter 15, verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which was laid bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered him, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Can I tell you that Barabbas was like me and you? Guilty of everything you can imagine being guilty of. And those that he run with were guilty. That's us. And there was no hope for him. He was arrested. He was going to die. He had a life sentence, going to die. But because of the cross, because Christ was to be crucified, they was going to release one or the other. And because of the cross, Barabbas went free. Yeah. See, because of the cross this morning, you get to go free.
Amen.
There's no other hope. Barabbas had no other hope.
That's right.
But the cross. No, that's it. You have no other hope this morning but the cross. Have you been set free because of the cross this morning? Have you been set free? No, there's no other hope. They took Christ from that very place. Barabbas went free. They took Christ and crucified him. There he died for the sins of man, but Barabbas went free. When did you go free? When was you set free this morning? Can I tell you, it was only and through and by the cross of Jesus Christ. Huh? Think about it. Turn over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We look here in Luke chapter 23, we start at verse 38. It says, and a superscription also was written over him. It's speaking of Christ, and he's on the cross. There he is dying for our sins. It says, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Can I tell you that the only hope that Barabbas had was the cross and being free. And the only hope that the thief beside Christ had, the only hope he had, he was dying. He's getting ready to break his legs and he was going to die right there on the cross beside Christ. He was a criminal. He was dirty. He was wretched. He was there because he deserved to be there. But because of Christ and the cross, he was forgiven.
Amen.
And was with Christ in paradise that very day. The only hope he had was in the cross. See, it's the only hope you have this morning. Are you understanding this? There's no other hope. There's no other way. Think about it. It had to be the cross. Huh? But see, that's not the only one in this passage. Look down again in verse 46. In verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Huh? Can I tell you that the centurion didn't have no other hope? You know, the centurion was a Roman. He didn't believe the gospel. He didn't have the gospel. They didn't believe that. They believed other things. But because of the cross, those who believe other things and are taught other things have hope because of the cross. And that's the only hope that he had. He would have never glorified God. He would have never believed. You read in other places about the same centurion, and he said, truly, this was the Son of God.
Yes.
He believed.
Amen.
He believed. But it was his only hope. Didn't have no more hope. It was it. It was all she wrote. This morning, you look at me. The only hope you have is in the cross of Jesus Christ. The only hope you have to spend an eternity with God, to miss hell, is the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? What would we do without the cross? What would we do without it this morning? What would we do? You know, I couldn't help Clark. It's Tuesday, we sat down there at the table, me and you and Lib, and we played and sung, and you had us sing a song, and I told you I've been singing it all week. It said, what would we do, huh? What would we do if there hadn't been a cross? Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Yeah. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for an old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. He goes on and says, I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. And I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels from my hands, pull these nails which torment me. Had it not been, you know what, for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for an old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. The only hope that we have is in the cross of Jesus Christ this morning. That's it. If you don't know Christ, you're going to hell this morning. If you don't know Christ, you're going to hell this morning. And you don't have to go. You can come to Christ this morning and believe. You can repent of your sins and believe on Jesus this morning. Place your faith in Him. And He promises to save your soul. Cheryl, go to the piano. Come on, Clark, let's sing. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. I'm asking you to come this morning. I'm asking you to come to Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior today. I believe on Him that He died for me, that He was buried, that He rose again. And I want Him as my Savior. Won't you come this morning? Stand to your feet. Let's come. You come this morning. I believe you need saved this morning. I believe there's somebody here this morning that needs Jesus. Sing right now. Right now.
282. Just